Welcome back as we roll into the 5 o'clock hour. Chico in for Bull and Fox on this Friday afternoon. My next guest, actually, he knows Adam the Bull very well, so he would understand the fact that Bull would be a big-time celebrity at a station golf outing, and I would have to obviously be in here and pick up pieces. But you know what? There's always that silver lining, and as soon as I knew I was in for Bull and Fox today, a night after the NBA draft, I thought, I got a shot to talk to Vin Parisi, so I'm all good with it. Vin, again, Emmy-nominated college basketball analyst with Fox Sports and Sportsnet New York, former coach, former player as well. He joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Always fun. Vin, how you doing, buddy?
Good, Chico. Thanks for having me on.
Let me start with this, and I will go right to the Cavaliers pick and Colin Sexton. Now, you know, some people here, we were joking, like, it's not like we watch Colin Sexton all year long and Alabama all year long, but when you see in the SEC tournament and winning their first conference tournament this year, or their first tournament game this year, and what Colin Sexton was all about, and you read about the makeup and the competitiveness, do you like the pick here for the Cavaliers at 8?
Yeah, you know, I do. I think, I think first and foremost, you know, success in conference tournaments and in March has every bit to do with, you know, the right player and the right system for the right head coach. And I think that Sexton and Avery Johnson and Bama were a good match. That being said, you know, if you're a Cleveland Cavalier fan, I do understand and I sympathize the ones that were looking at Porter, and I personally was surprised that he was still around at that point, and then eventually kept staying around. But we all know about his injury and teams that stayed away. But Colin Sexton, Chico, is a true point guard. I mean, he's a true point guard. I think, and the pieces to the puzzles you guys have out there in Cleveland, which we saw on full display in the playoffs. I mean, he can play. He can play. And this is what you need to know about Sexton. He is dynamic and aggressive when the basketball is in his hands. This guy could get to the rim at will in the half court and really in transition as well. And for someone that wants to push the pace in the full court, for someone that wants to play a lot of pick-and-roll half-court games action the way you guys like to do, you know, he's great at getting a 9 or a 10 speed. So he may have to adjust a little to the NBA game. And the other thing is that he is not a three-point shooter. That's not saying he's not going to make perimeter shots, but, very early in his career, teams are going to go underneath on pick and rolls. You know, they're going to make him beat him from the outside. He could get inconsistent at times from the perimeter. However, if you're looking for someone that's a true point guard, and to really, you know, dribble penetrate, set teammates up, and get to the free throw line, he could do that immediately.
Then you mentioned Michael Porter, and that was my very next question as far as biggest surprise. So I'm guessing that's probably your biggest surprise that he fell all the way to 14. Was it more than just injury? Because I can remember yesterday reading some things about, oh, now we've got character issues or stuff. What was the deal with Porter, do you think, dropping all the way to 14?
Yeah, you know, I don't know about the off-the-court character issues. I do know that these teams have lots of boots on the ground for the background knowledge that, you know, and stuff that they do. They have more than scouts. I mean, they have scouts, they have front office executives, they have people doing background checks, they have private investigators. I mean, like, the scouting departments now for NBA teams and how much, you know, back research they do before these investments is huge. But, you know, I still think it came down to the injury. And the reason I was surprised, Chico, is because, you know, we tend to, as college basketball analysts during the winter, you know, get carried away with covering injuries and hesitant on guys coming back from injuries. And you saw when he came back, I mean, he had an unfortunate – listen, I remember in 2016 he was by far the best. He was dominating AAU high school basketball. And that's why in 2017 they had him pegged as a top two or three, if not number one pick, you know, when this past season ended. Now, his year gets off to a disaster. They scrimmage Kansas in the preseason. He plays 3 minutes against Iowa State. And then next thing you know, he doesn't touch a basketball for 7 months because of the injury on the bulging disc. Now, he rushed it to come back. He wanted to play. And listen, he looked like a rusty guy that hadn't played in 4 or 5 months. So I don't blame him for that. I'm just surprised with the thorough background checks that these NBA franchises do, with all of those medical tests coming back okay. I was just surprised that someone wouldn't, because he still has tremendous athletic and skill tools for a guy his size that you just don't find every day. So it'll be interesting to see the next couple of years if he makes these teams regret their decision.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Vin Parisi. Also, of course, you know him, Emmy-nominated college basketball analyst with Fox Sports. You can follow him there as well, at Fox Sports and at SNY TV. Vin, DeAndre Ayton, I think that was clearly going to be and probably should have been the number one pick. Could you make a case, though, as some people are, that, hey, in today's NBA, building around that true center, in quotation marks, it's not that important as it once was. And then if that's so, could you make a case for, say, Bagley over Ayton?
You know, you can. I just, you know, me personally, I always just like Bagley more in this one. Okay. However, I understand why with the situation that Phoenix was in, with just no interior dominating presence at either end, why they had to take it. You know, he's an impact from day one. He's going to get better defensively. You know, he brings you immediacy, down low offensively. But I agree. In this NBA, you know, it's a little bit of a gamble. I think, you know, Bagley, you know, think about how many drafts recently we've talked about the big studs and we've been like, oh, they're raw offensively. They still need time. They need to develop. And you're talking about a guy, Bagley, who was the top offensive option on the third best offense in all of college basketball this past year. And the numbers were tremendous, and that's only going to improve. You know, the stuff about his motor and everything, I think that's just about being a young kid and, you know, you need to grow and mature. But, you know, in the end, I think it's a coin toss. And, you know, I think if you're the Phoenix Suns out in Arizona as a fan, you're happy because, you know, you have major paint presence right now. And then you have Mikal Bridges, who I think was the most ready forward there in the draft to play the combo forward position.
Oh, you're just leading me right into my next questions right all the way along here. This is perfect. Mikal Bridges, I know a guy that you're very much in tune with, covering the Big East like you do and as well as you do. So I know the obvious question is, well, you know, why did Philadelphia do this? Perfect fit, Villanova. But even beyond that, from a basketball standpoint, you just alluded to it, were you surprised that the move was made by the Sixers?
I was surprised, and I'm even just taking the Philadelphia factor out of it. I know that whole fiasco of, you know, interviewing the mom, and, you know, I just think in this day and age when, you know, guys like Adrian Wojnarowski, my buddy, no picks 15 minutes before, you know, Adam Silver does, I think they could have avoided that. I mean, they had to have known they were going to make that move if the pick was there. But I'm just surprised that Philly, you know, they're, you know, just with how they've been handling, you know, quote unquote, their process of rebuilding, you know, went with a guy more raw and a guy that's going to need some more time to develop. And, you know, I mean, that is like turnkey operational ready when you talk about Mikal Bridges. I mean, you're talking a guy who, you know, is 21, going to be 22 years old soon. That's old for this lottery in this first round. Had scouts drooling the entire season. He reminds you of like Scottie Pippen at times. He shot 44% from 3-point land. He's 6'7". He has a 7'2" wingspan. He plays 3 to 4 positions on the floor. And Chico, the big thing right now when I bump into scouts and talk to them in my travels during play, especially Big East for Fox, is they love this dual combo forward position. They love guys that could play the 3 spot and make it a tough matchup for a 4, or, you know, if a team goes small, be able to play the 4. And, you know, I just picture what Mikal Bridges is going to be like, in 4 or 5 years with another 15, 20 pounds of muscle. I think he is going to be Pippen-like, and I was just surprised that they made that move.
A couple more things for you, and we'll let you loose here. We always appreciate the time. Reviews seem to be mixed, Vin, on Luka Doncic and what the Atlanta Hawks did. Not necessarily on Doncic specifically, but what the Hawks did. Did you like it or not like it?
Well, I tell you what, I'll get to the Hawks in a sec. I think it was more impressive what the Mavericks were able to pull off. You know, I'm going to be honest. I mean, obviously, Luka Doncic, I don't get to see, you know, and study and watch regularly like these other college players here because he's an international. But, you know, I trust my friend and colleague, Fran Fraschilla, and guys that study the international game. And listen, here's what you got to know about Luka is he has been playing and putting up very, very impressive numbers for the last 2 years. He's had 150 outings to where, you know, he has brought it big time when you look in the statistical columns. And according to Fran Fraschilla, you know, all of the competition he played against, these teams would beat all of the top 10 and top 25 NCAA Division I college basketball teams that he's seen the last year or two. And,
wow,
you know, Franny calls games in the Big 12 on the regular. So,
mm-hmm,
you know, I think, you know, like we had the unknowns with a Rubio coming in, I think he'll be a factor right away. But, you know, I think the Hawks should be, you know, as a whole, very happy. I mean, I think that they got the two best shooters from the perimeter in the draft in Trae Young and Herbert at 19 from Maryland. You know, one obviously a 6'7", you know, role player, face up shooter, could pick and pop, and then Trae Young is just a tremendous shooter. And then they cap off the first round with Amari Spellman, who, you know, you talked before about this present-day NBA. They love 4 and 5 men centers now that could step out and knock down trays, and he can. So I think in this day and age, in this NBA, Golden State Warrior-type basketball, you know, to be able to have three different positions and three different guys that stroke the three, you know, I think the Hawks had a really good night.
We'll get you out of here with this, Finn. Obviously focused on the lottery picks, as we always are, but you mentioned it. We've been talking about how deep this draft was. Mm-hmm. Who are some of the guys in say, the latter half of this draft that you think are going to have an impact, and who are some of the steals you think some teams got away with?
I think Holiday at 23 was a steal. You know, you could look at the Bucks. You could look. I was surprised that Dante DiVincenzo, you know, got past, you know, Washington. But Holiday at 23 is huge because he played against major competition. He's proven himself on the big stage at UCLA. He played point. He was a scoring point when he had to be. He played off the ball and played catch and shoot two guard basketball when he had to be. And that's a guy who, you know, you don't need to sit him on the bench, you know, for a while. He could come right in and give you buckets and give you numbers and give you trays from day one. And you don't always get that, you know, when you start getting in the, you know, the low to mid-20s. And I think that's what scouts meant, you know, when they were saying in the winter that this might be the best first round as a whole since 2003. So, you know, I think that's one to keep an eye on. And as you know, statistically, there's always a handful of guys that wind up making it, you know, out of the second round. And I look early second round, Javon Carter from West Virginia. I think that guy's going to stick and stay on, even though he was a second rounder. I think we're going to see him in the league for several years. I mean, he was 2-time Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. You know, we've talked about it the last year or two. The Big 12 is consistently, you know, the best league or top two league in the country. That guy's guarded the best of the best. His offense got better and better, but he's tough. He's gritty. You know, you're only as good in the NBA as the position you could guard. And, you know, I got him being a second-round steal.
Well, speaking of the best, he's one of the best in the business. Vin Parisi, college basketball analyst with Fox Sports and Sportsnet New York. Always a good time. Appreciate the insight, Vin, and hope to do it again real soon. Thank you, pal.
Thank you, my friend. I always enjoy coming on with you.
All right. Vin Parisi on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.